A weak solidarity bricky team listener, when spare a thought for the filthiest rich of the filthy rich, saving every penny of the several hundred million they'd scraped together for their retirement, allowing them to enjoy a very, very early retirement. Early retirement from paying taxes. Not that we're suggesting having all those millions in a super account is a tax dodge, because they assure us they meet all their legal tax obligations. And the frustrating thing about a socialist government, as Lord Rupert of Wapping and the caring business class and the caring business class coalition party's chorus, bent on class warfare where there is no class in our classless society other than in the minds of evil unions and long-haired commie greenies, is these very important filthiest rich of will have to spend even more on their tax lawyers and accountants to ensure they can overcome this latest attack on their wealth and continue to meet their legal tax obligations. And what those who can't avoid paying their legal tax obligations extracted from their wages don't realise is that big end of town tax lawyers and tax accountants don't come cheap. It costs to reduce your legal tax obligations to zero. Well, zero plus, because it's important that you pick up more than a little of corporate welfare from the taxes those who can't avoid can't avoid. And the Lord Rupert media, in its daily oh-so-sincere concern for those struggling as the cost of living soars, tells those struggling they must be concerned at this attack on super savings, super-duper obscene savings. Our homes will be next, after all, leaving us to ponder if these people have up to 400 mil in their super account, how much must they have altogether? A thought which explains why we must spare a thought for the poor dears, who, after all, have only 2.5 years to prepare for this attack on their little retirement nest eggs. Oh, and another little thought. Those don't come cheap, big end of town tax lawyers and accountants who advise the filthy rich on how not to pay tax. Wonder how much tax they pay. One thing is certain, they all meet their legal tax obligations. But problems for the filthy rich don't end there. They have to counter a thoroughly nonsensical argument that their price increases and not wages are the cause of those inflationary costs of living blowouts, expressed for them by a True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review editorial headline, "Excess profits not to blame for inflation outbreak." Excess profits in parentheses, because the Capitalist Review on behalf of the filthiest rich of knows profits are not excessive, and says that, while caring employers point out wages are the real cause of inflation, showing that slow wage growth is inflationary. Although the Capitalist Review editorial concedes that wages are not causing inflation, so if neither wages nor excess profits, which are not excessive, are causing inflation, then what is? All this countering a long-haired commie greenie report from the True Blue Aussie Institute Centre for Future Work, claiming inflation could still be about 2% if the caring business class had not increased prices by $160 billion a year above costs. Leading economics professor Richard Holden, the prophets, to smash that assumption with, "The report plays into a sense of confusion about the drivers of rapidly rising prices." While the clearly confused Institute report was based on nothing more reliable than the facts. Holden the Prophets has been a busy little professorial body, separately producing an article explaining that slow wages growth has absolutely nothing to do with the capitalist system. As if some misguided people might think there was some sort of connection, or was an intentional policy by the previous coalition caring business class government, pointing out that when then economic guru Matthias Rottentuther described suppressing wages as a deliberate design feature, he did not mean suppressing wages was a deliberate design feature. Richard didn't tell us what Matthias did mean, but real wages grew slowly in most advanced economies during the 2010s, and the average real wage for Americans did not increase for the four decades up to 2020. Slowing growth in wages is an international phenomenon. So, unless there's some coordinated international neoliberal conspiracy to screw over workers, we must look elsewhere for the diagnosis and solution to slow wages growth. Given Richard is an intelligent economics professor who, unlike us, well, certainly me, I won't blame you, listener, I won't speak for you, understands the intricacies of the greatest little economic order of them all, heaven forbid that some economic ignoramuses might think there just might be some coordinated international neoliberal conspiracy to screw over workers. Or as those caring business class practitioners who argue wages are the cause of inflation point out, given wages are causing our soaring inflation, imagine how bad inflation would be if wages were actually increasing. Oh, Richard's solution, given neoliberal capitalism is totally innocent and would never dream of screwing over workers, productivity. Workers must work harder. My word, there's an original thought. Original thoughts from Woodside with profit supremo Peg O'Neill before dollar signs as she announced a record $6.5 billion record profit, like investing more and more across the globe in fossils, declaring there is no need for True Blue Aussie to adopt Europe's stronger anti-fossil regulations, and asserting a super-duper obscene windfall profits tax on fossils like Woodside with would be a disincentive to invest in more and more fossils and therefore hurt all True Blue Aussies. Although a bit more detail on that one wouldn't have hurt. She probably took for granted we'd know she meant all True Blue Aussies like her and the other fossils. She did say she believed shareholders supported Woodside with climate policy, which is profit. We support a climate of record profit 100%. But Peg, what about climate change, if there is such a thing? We do not expect the climate of profit to change, so I can assure you, you have nothing to worry about. As an aside, like all the big fossils causing the problem, Woodside with assures us it supports net zero emissions by 2050, but hell, fossils are fetching record prices, and there's plenty of time to do something about that, like buy a tree in a rainforest somewhere until the logging industry turns up to enjoy its record profits. And anyway, net zero emissions does not mean zero emissions. Zero emissions would hurt all of us, all True Blue Aussies. Peg expressed her concern for all of us. Iconoclastically, Greenpeace recently produced a, ran a full-page ad, Woodside with wants True Blue Aussie businesses to foot its pollution bill. Don't let Woodside with write True Blue Aussie's climate policy. As if. What disrespect for a great True Blue Aussie icon doing its bit for all of us. And another supremo showing the value of women behaving like men, AG Hell for the Planet supremo Patricia McConnemzee, said the path to net zero must be realistic. Realistic, Patricia, what would be realistic? We asked the head of True Blue Aussie's biggest coal-fired polluter. Let me say it would be unrealistic if we had to shut down our coal-fired generators. Patricia said AG Hell 4 was united in our vision for the clean energy future for True Blue Aussie. As long as you don't have to stop polluting. Exactly. A former senior public servant, now a senior academic, told the Robodebt Her Most Majesty's Commission this week, then Minister Stupid Robots dismissed her recommendation the scheme should be scrapped based on the Solicitor General's advice it was illegal. That's just an opinion. Stupid lived up to his name. 2 days after her evidence, Stupid told the inquiry he couldn't quite recall that conversation. It's contagious, isn't it, the way these people have memory lapses the moment they hit the witness box. blaming the public service for keeping him ignorant, as if they're to blame. Very unfair, that. And despite contemporary interviews lauding the scheme, he said he had doubts about it, but at the time couldn't express his personal thoughts. The significance of that, of course, that he considers he is capable of thought. Although, if he is, that could be the problem, as this episode is just one more highlight in Stupid's illustrious ministerial career. Given Stupid kept turning up as a minister for being a minister, it does leave us to ponder the bottomless depths of incompetence of those who didn't make it. Stupid didn't just dismiss the public servant's warning about the illegality. He then dismissed her altogether for telling him what he didn't want to hear, and which he told the Her Most Gracious Majesty's con mission he didn't hear. In a US of the UN of the US of the world defamation case against, surprise, surprise, Lord Rupert of Wapping's Faux News, Lord Rupert admitted Faux had strongly argued that former US Ob Supremo Donald Trump of the Poor had won the election and been robbed, interviewing balanced observers like Donald's lawyers such as Rudy Giuliani, and had perpetrated other conspiracy theories, and now says in hindsight he wishes he had prevented it. When did this wish strike you, Lord Rupert? When the defamation suit arrived. But the episode shows Lord Rupert does not intervene with his team of balanced, for want of a better word, balanced journalists. I don't have to. They know exactly what I want them to say, or else. As speculation continues on whether former Sydney Theatre Company artistic director Kate Blanchett will win another Oscar, the company has appointed its new chairperson, the airline which used to be our airline supremo, Alan Joystick. As a result, roles will be contracted out as a cost-cutting measure, although some of the contracted employees may have had some acting experience. And audiences will discover at the end of every performance, the theatre has lost their handbags, wallets, coats and other possessions. Oh, and performances will be cancelled or run excessively late due to circumstances outside Alan's control. Finally, like the big fossil polluters insisting they must continue to pollute for the good of all of us, as evil unions call for an immediate end to cut stone silicosis, killing and injuring workers, with Scion-based Caesar stoned to death featuring, the company fought back with a full-page ad, a safe and sustainable stone industry, informing us a ban will not solve the issue of silicosis, and it's devoted to a safe and sustainable industry. Installed bedstops are entirely safe, it states. Nothing like truth in advertising. Sure, sure, it's safe, after the workers have caught silicosis making it safe. Let's prove its argument. Let the Caesar stone to death boardroom spend 12 months cutting the stone themselves, do the actual work themselves. We're sure they'd love to. After all, it's safe and sustainable. Good morning.